So currently, the book that we're reading is called The Stories of the Prophets by Imam Ibn Kathir, who passed away in 774 AH. So he lived in around 750 after Hijri. And so he's very famous for making this, compiling these stories from the Quran and from the Hadith and sources of the prophets, different prophets' lives. Currently, we've read from Adam alayhi salam all the way up to Saleh alayhi salam. And today we are going to start on the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so just before that, just we get started on the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, from me, Ramadan Mubarak, to everybody that's listening that's Muslim and that celebrates Ramadan, I pray that this Ramadan is full of blessings, full of kindness, mercy, and whatever spiritual goal it is that you have, I also pray that that is also fulfilled in it. And for all of my listeners through the podcast platform, I actually have an Instagram account called Sacred Text as well. You can follow different updates as well. I post quotes on it as well as sometimes, well, my live sessions are on there as well. And also just some thoughts. Sometimes I go into the mountains and I think things and then I write them down. So I'm going to get started on the story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Imam Ibn Kathir says, "Some of the people of the book stated that his name was Ibrahim, the son of Tarikh, who was the son of Nahur, the son of Suruh, the son of Rahu, the son of Palih, the son of Aher, who was the son of Saleh alayhi salam. They said that when Tarikh was 75 years old, he had Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nahur, as well as Haran. Haran had a son named Lut alayhi salam. They also said that Ibrahim alayhi salam was the middle child and that Haran died in the lifetime of his father in the land where he was born, the land of the Chaldeans or the Al-Qaldanin, also known as Babylonia. At that time, some people worshipped idols of stone and wood. Others worshipped the plants, the stars, the sun, the moon, and still others worshipped their kings. They even worshipped their own rulers. So this was the time that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was born. Ibrahim alayhi salam was born into that atmosphere, into a typical family of that ancient time. The head of the family was not even an ordinary idol worshipper, but was one who totally rejected Allah and who used to make idols with his own hands. He was one of their leaders. Some traditions claim that Ibrahim alayhi salam's father died before his birth, and he was raised by an uncle whom Ibrahim alayhi salam called father. Other traditions said that it actually was his father and his name was Azar. Into that family, Ibrahim alayhi salam was born, destined to stand against his own family, against the entire system of his own community. And in brief, he stood against all kinds of polytheism. So that's a very interesting thing. Ibrahim alayhi salam is actually the cousin of Lut alayhi salam, who's also a prophet. And we'll go on to the story of Lut alayhi salam after this as well. But so for Ibrahim alayhi salam, his is one of the most testing stories in the Holy Quran. And that we know about Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was tested a lot. Many different things happened within his story, all the way from when he was young to all the way when he was old. So we'll learn about all of those things and the way that Ibrahim alayhi salam was tested, and he was given the title Khalilullah. He was given the title Friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we'll learn how that was given and why that might be. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam's childhood, the author Imam Ibn Kathir continues, "He was endowed with spiritual understanding from an early age. Allah enlightened his heart and mind, gave him wisdom from childhood. Allah the Almighty says in the Holy Quran, 'Indeed, we bestowed aforetime on Abraham his portion of guidance, and we were well acquainted with him as to his belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.'" And so the author continues, "During his early childhood, Ibrahim realized that his father made strange statues. One day he asked him about what it was that he was making. And his father replied that he was making God. He was making statues of God. Ibrahim alayhi salam was astonished and he spontaneously rejected the idea. Being a child, he played with such statues sitting on their backs, as people sit on the backs of their mules. one day his father saw him riding the statue of Marduk. And Marduk was just one of these made up gods that they had made. And he became furious. He ordered his son not to stand on top of the statues and play. And Ibrahim said, "What is this statue, father? It has big ears, bigger than ours." His father answered that it's Marduk. He's the gods of gods, son. These big ears show his deep knowledge. And this made Ibrahim alayhi salam laugh. He was only 7 years old at that time. Years passed and Ibrahim alayhi salam grew. Since his childhood, his heart had been full of sort of hatred for these idols, for these things that people made out of their hands and then worshipped it. He could not understand how a sane person could make a statue and then worship what he had made. He noticed that these idols did not drink, did not talk, and they could not even turn themselves from the right side up if someone accidentally turned them down. How then could people believe that such statues could harm or benefit them? Ibrahim's people had a big temple, and it was full of idols, in the middle of which was a niche accommodating the biggest gods, which was of different kinds, qualities, and shapes. Abraham, who used to go to the temples with his father when he was a child, greatly despised all this wood and this stone that people worshipped. What surprised him was the way his people behaved when they entered the temple. They bowed down and they started to cry. They started to beg and implore their gods for help, as if the idols could hear or understand these requests. At first, such a sight seemed funny to Ibrahim, but later he began to feel angry. Was it not astonishing that all those people could be deceived? And what added to the problem was that his father actually wanted him to be a priest when he was grown up. He wanted nothing more from his son than he revered these statues, yet Ibrahim never stopped displaying his hatred and his disdain of them. One night, Ibrahim left his house to go to a mountain. He walked alone in the dark until he chose a cave in the mountain where he sat, resting his back against its wall. He looked at the sky. He had hardly seen it when he remembered that he was looking at planets and stars which were worshipped by some people on the earth. And his heart was filled with pain. He considered what was beyond this moon, the stars, the planets, and was astonished that these celestial bodies were worshipped by men when they had been created to worship and obey their creator, appearing and disappearing at his command. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibrahim alayhi salam, then addressed his people who worshipped these celestial bodies, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran. So this is Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham, actually speaking to these people. And his words were recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, "Thus did we show Ibrahim the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, that he be one of those who have faith and certainty. When the night covered him over with darkness, he saw a star. He said, 'This is my Lord.' But when it set, he said, 'I like not that those who set.' When he saw the moon rising up, he said, 'Is this my Lord?' But when the moon set, he said, 'Unless my Lord guides me, I shall surely be among the erred people.' And when he saw the sun rising up, he said, 'Is this my Lord? This is greater than the moon.' But when it set, he said, 'O my people, I am indeed free from all that you join as partners in the worship of Allah, in the worship of God. Verily, I have turned my face towards him who has created the heavens and the earth. I've turned my face towards Hanifan, which is basically Islamic monotheism. And I am not of the al-mushrikeen, those who worship besides Allah.' And then his people disputed with him. And he said, 'Do you dispute with me concerning Allah while he has guided me? And I fear not those whom you associate with Allah in worship. Nothing can happen to me except when my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when my Lord wills something. My Lord comprehends in his knowledge all things. Will you not then remember? And how should I fear those whom you associate in the worship with Allah, though they can neither benefit nor harm, while you fear not that you have joined in worship with Allah things for which he has not sent down to you any authority? So which of the two parties has more right to be in security? If only you but know. It is those who believe in the oneness of Allah and worship none but Him alone, and confuse not their belief with the dhulm, with the wrongdoing. For them only there is security, and they are guided. And that was our proof which we gave Ibrahim against his people. We raise whom we will in degrees. Certainly your Lord is all wise, and your Lord is all knowing. So I think that's where we will pause for today in terms of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And inshallah, we will continue it on Monday. And in terms of just some things that stood out to me, well, one of them is just from here. Ibrahim alayhi salam is disputing with his people. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling them that, okay, I could consider this sun as a god, but the sun, it sets. I could consider this moon as a god, but the moon leaves. These stars, they blink out, they fall down. So how can something that has a beginning and an end, something that ends, how can that be God? He's getting them to question it. And at the same time then, he's also getting these threats from these people of saying, oh, you know, the gods are going to harm you. They're going to do this to you. And Ibrahim alayhi salam says that there's no power on this earth. There's no power anywhere that can harm or benefit a person other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so why should he fear that? And that's another thing. It's from a hadith as well, like that whatever actions we carry out in this life, it shouldn't be because of the fear of people. It shouldn't be because of the fear of anything, because nothing is going to take away from your life. Nothing is going to take away from your risk. Nothing is going to take away from even the way that you die. Whatever is set for you, it is already there, essentially. So that's something to think about for sure. And I'll actually comment on that because something else just came into my mind. But before that, I don't actually have my book on me today. I'm using an online version of it because I'm actually in a different city at the moment. So that's why I wasn't able to take jot. Normally I'd make like a mark every time I want to comment on something, but I wasn't able to mark it up. So I might not be able to actually find it. Well, I guess one thing to remember in your head, because during the story, as we read Ibrahim alayhi salam's story, it's going to come back to that a lot. Remember his, like, the person who most likely, like, his uncle, who he called as father. And remember that. And he was actually a leader among the idol worshippers at that time. And it's going to go more in depth into that. But essentially, another thing was, it's so interesting that these people, like these awliya Allah, like friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as these prophets, they would go to these like natural places. And a lot of times they would go to mountains. They really love mountains, and they would climb them, and they would like look at the nature around them. They would look at the creation around them, and then they would find God through that. They would find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that. So that's also something very interesting to note. And very nice. So we should go out there too. We should explore the world. We should explore nature. We should, you know, take a look at this grass, these trees, these plants, these mountains, the sun, the stars, the moon and stuff. And just, you know, realize where these things come from. How is it that everything is so perfect? You know, how is it that there's such a good pattern in everything? How is it that things completely die in winter? Everything turns into barren ground, and then spring comes and it's like life again. The birds start chirping and, you know, this greenery starts coming after it was dead. We ourselves kind of feel kind of sad, right, in winter when it's dead. But then we ourselves, how is it that we are able to feel, how is our energy related to this earth and stuff? It's so interesting, all of it, and to contemplate on that, and subhanAllah, to realize that all of these are from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the last thing I was going to say, Ibrahim alayhi salam said that there's nothing in this world that can harm or benefit someone. So then why should I be afraid? And I said a hadith with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regards to that as well. And the story goes, this story I heard, I think it was Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but in case it wasn't, or if it was some awliya Allah, I'll clear that up. But the story is real. What happened once is I don't think it was other leader of the Ottoman. I think it was some awliya Allah, some friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had a mule. And because in that time, people used to travel on mules. They used to travel on donkeys or horses or camels. And so he had a mule. And the mule had a bunch of like stuff on it as well. And the time for namaz was like going by. And this person needed to do his prayer. He needed to pray. And he went outside the mosque, and he found somebody to look after it for him. So essentially he asked that person, he's like, hey, I'm going to go and pray namaz right now. I'm going to go worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you just quickly watch over my stuff? Can you watch over my mule and stuff? And he wasn't like a pauper, or he wasn't a poor person. Like he was a wealthy person, but he just wanted to do that. And so he went inside and he started praying. So when he started praying, the person that was standing there, now Shaitan came to him, that was watching over the guy's stuff. And he's like, okay, you know, there's literally nobody watching. Nobody knows that this is his stuff. Why don't I just take it? And he actually did take it. He actually took it with him, and he stole from him. And so when that worshiper, he came outside and he noticed that his stuff is gone, he started smiling or laughing. And when people are like, normally when stuff gets stolen, you're sad about it. Why is this guy laughing? And the reason was, is because he's like, when I went inside the masjid, I got a thought in my head, in my heart, that, you know, this person is so kind to do this for me. When I go outside, I'm just going to gift him my mule and I'm just going to gift him that stuff. And then when he came outside, he noticed that it was gone. So he was laughing because it was actually written in that person's risk. It was written for him already. It's just that person chose those means to get it. Like if that person wanted, he could have just been a bit more patient. He would have came outside. He would have still gotten the mule. But he decided to steal it. So nothing in this world, based on your risk, your life, the longevity of it, or the other thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises in the Quran, besides those two, is also your image. Those are the three things that we all really, really care about, right? One is wealth, one is our life, and the other is our image, how other people think about us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that none of it can actually be affected by anyone if he just, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't will. He is the one who, if he wants, he raises somebody's status in the world and, you know, gives respect to him. And if he wants, he can disrespect, he can get them disrespect as well. So when those three things that we all strive for, we know that this is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot worry about them then. What we can then focus on is the purity, because these three things are what blinds people. These three things are what people chase, and everything becomes an illusion around them. They become so blinded by either wealth, by extending their life, or by what other people think about them, that they carry out like these things in life that they don't even realize that they the atrocities they carry out. That's basically it. We'll finish off there. We just got started with the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and we're up to the point where he's first spoken to his people and he said that this can be your God. Because there's both a start and a finish to it. These statues can be gods because they're made out of your own head, your own hands and stuff. So we'll continue on that story on Monday. Again, I hope everybody has a good Ramadan and good everything else too. Take care, inshallah. I will see.